Welcome to a deep dive, everyone. Today, we're cracking the code on head-to-toe assessments.
These assessments are like detective work for nurses, right? Figuring out what's going on just by looking.
Yeah, they're piecing together a health puzzle with every observation. And you know what? Understanding this process, it can make you a better advocate for your own health, too. Not just for folks in scrubs, right?
Absolutely. It's like learning a new language, the language our bodies use to tell us what's going on.
So where do we even begin? Our sources describe this assessment as systematic, which sounds, I don't know, very orderly for something about the human body.
Well, think of it this way. There's a deliberate flow to it. Nurses follow a specific order to make sure they don't miss anything important. It starts the second they meet a patient.
So before any poking or prodding.
Exactly. It all begins with what we call the general survey.
Okay, like a first impression, but in a medical setting.
Exactly. They're observing everything. Posture, how the patient is dressed, their overall demeanor, how clearly are they communicating, do they seem distressed? It's about picking up on those subtle clues, those nonverbal cues.
So it's more than just checking vital signs.
Oh, way more. Imagine a patient who's slumped over, avoiding eye contact, speaking slowly. Could indicate depression, maybe pain, even a neurological issue. But then someone who's fidgety and restless, maybe anxiety or even a thyroid problem. You never know.
Fascinating. How much you can tell just from observing. Okay, so much to consider even before the physical exam starts.
Right. And even before we get to that, two things are crucial, often overlooked. Hand hygiene and patient comfort.
Simple but essential.
Exactly. The materials emphasize hand washing before even touching the patient. Seems obvious, but so important in preventing infections. Right.
Right. What about patient comfort? What does that look like in a medical setting?
Making sure the patient feels safe, respected, privacy is key. Explaining what's happening in a way they understand, making sure they're properly covered for modesty during the exam.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Builds trust. Okay, so we've set the stage with the general survey. Let's get into the physical part. Head, neck, right? That's where most of our sources start.
Absolutely. And the very first thing a nurse will do is examine the scalp.
Really? What's so interesting about the scalp?
Well, they're checking for things you might not expect, like lice.
Lice. Wow, I have to admit, I did not see that coming.
Again, it's about getting a complete picture. Finding lice, maybe it means they need hygiene education. In some patients, it could even be a sign of neglect.
Wow. It's incredible how much we miss by not knowing what to look for. Okay, scalp, check. What's next? Eyes, I'm guessing.
You got it. And this is where things get really interesting with what's called Parole LA. It stands for pupil, equal, round, reactive to light, and accommodation. It's a mouthful, I know.
Okay, break that down for us. What's so important about pupils?
They can tell us a lot about what's going on in the brain if the pupils don't react properly to light or focus. Could be a head injury, maybe some pressure inside the skull, even a neurological disorder.
Wow, you're kidding. I never knew something as simple as our pupils could be so revealing.
They're like a window into the brain, and it doesn't stop there.
So we've got the eyes covered. What about the other senses, like hearing, smell, all that?
Those recess too. The nurse will check how a patient responds to sounds to assess hearing. And believe it or not, even someone's sense of smell can be important.
Really? What can you tell from someone's sense of smell?
Well, difficulty smelling, it can actually be an early sign of neurological problems, like Parkinson's disease, for instance.
It really is amazing how interconnected everything is.
It really is. It's about connecting the dots.
Yeah.
Small observations, big picture of someone's health.
So we've covered the head and all our senses. Where to next?
The chest and abdomen. This is where listening becomes as crucial as looking.
You mean with a stethoscope?
Yes. But it's not just about the heartbeat. It's a technique called auscultation.
Auscultation. That sounds pretty intense.
Just a fancy word for listening to the sounds the body makes, really. But the information is amazing. Listening to the heart, the lungs, nurses can pick up irregularities, unusual sounds that might mean there's fluid buildup, things you would never catch just by looking.
So it's like listening to a symphony, but instead of instruments, it's the heart and lungs, and each sound means something.
Exactly. Like a heart murmur, which is an extra sound during a heartbeat, could be totally harmless, but could also mean a valve problem. You just never know.
Fascinating. What about the other end of the digestive system?
You mean bowel sounds?
Yeah, that's the one. Is that part of the listening tour too?
It is. Believe it or not, listening to those bowel sounds can tell you a lot about how well the digestive system is working. They're listening for those gurgling sounds of digestion.
So what happens if there are no sounds?
Could be a problem. maybe a bowel obstruction, which would need immediate attention.
Wow. Who knew there was so much to learn just from listening to the human body?
Right. It's all about knowing what to listen for and what it all means.
We've certainly covered a lot in this first part of our deep dive into head-to-toe assessments. From the general survey, down to the nitty-gritty of the head and neck, and even the world of auscultation, it's been quite a journey. Okay, ready to move on down the body. We've done the head, the chest, all that. What's next?
From the chest and abdomen, we head to the extremities, the arms and legs. This part really shows how connected our bodies are.
Okay, I'm listening. How so?
Well, even something as simple as checking your pulse in your wrist can actually tell us a lot about your circulation, your whole circulatory system.
Our sources mention capillary refill. What is that exactly?
It's a really quick and easy way to see how well the blood is flowing to the extremities. Basically, the nurse will press on your fingernail, you know, cut off the blood flow for a second.
Okay, yeah.
And then they let go and see how long it takes for the color to come back.
So are they literally just timing how long it takes for the blood to flow back to the fingertip?
Exactly. And if it takes more than a couple of seconds, could be a sign of a circulation problem.
Huh. Never knew that. And I'm guessing they check it in both the hands and the feet.
You got it. And it's not just about pulses and capillary refill. They're also checking for any swelling in the hands and feet.
Okay, like if your hands are swollen, that means something.
Could. It might mean your body is having trouble getting rid of extra fluid. Swelling in the legs, for example, could be a sign of heart failure, where the heart isn't pumping as efficiently as it should. Swelling in the hands, maybe a problem with the kidneys, because they regulate fluids.
So swelling, not just a minor inconvenience, could be a sign that something else is going on.
Exactly. Putting the pieces of the puzzle together. Now, what else are we checking with the extremities? What do you think?
Well, strength, probably. Range of motion.
Right, on both counts. Mm. The nurse will have you move your arms and legs in different ways, checking for any limitations, any pain.
So they're not just looking at this point. They're really interacting with the patient, getting a sense of how well they can move.
Exactly. It helps them gauge the muscle function, the health of the joints, see if there are any potential mobility problems.
And speaking of things, we often overlook the skin.
Oh, right. Because it's not just about what's going on underneath. It's our largest organ, and we totally take it for granted.
And it can tell us so much about our health. The sources, they really emphasize that skin assessment is woven throughout this entire head-to-toe process.
Okay, so it's not just a once-over.
Right.
What kind of things are they looking for when they assess the skin?
Everything. Color, texture, is it dry, is it clammy, any unusual moles, rashes, sores.
And what could those things indicate? Like, what could it mean if there are changes in the skin?
Well, a change in color, for example, could be anything from a bruise to a circulation problem. Yellowing of the skin, that's called jaundice, could be a liver issue. Changes in texture, like dryness, flakiness, or even if it's too oily, that could be hormonal imbalances or even nutritional deficiencies.
So it's like our skin is sending us signals all the time.
Yeah.
We just need to know what to look for. Exactly. And that's why it's so important to pay attention to our own bodies. You know, and if we notice any changes, we need to talk to our doctors.
Okay, so we've covered the outside, head to toe, but what about what's going on inside with the brain and nervous system? Is that part of this assessment too?
It is. The nervous system, this part, it goes beyond just the physical. It's about assessing mental acuity as well.
Oh, so they're checking out our mental state too. How do they even begin to do that?
It's actually more straightforward than you might think. One of the key things they look at is something called orientation.
Orientation, like knowing which way is north.
No, not quite. In this case, orientation means whether the patient is oriented to person, place, and time.
Okay, I think I get it. So how do they figure that out?
They might ask some simple questions like, what's your name? Where are we right now? What day is it today? Maybe even ask about current events to see if they're connected to the present moment.
Ah, I see. So it's a quick check to make sure someone's brain is functioning okay.
Exactly. And it can be incredibly telling, especially in situations like a head injury, stroke, or dementia.
Makes you realize how important it is to check those things. Our source material also mentions something called cranial nerve tests. Those sound a little more intense. What are those all about?
They sound scarier than they actually are.
Yeah.
Basically, cranial nerves, they control things like our facial expressions, our eye movements, sense of smell, even our gag reflex.
Okay, I think I remember those from anatomy class. So how do they test those nerves?
It depends on which nerve they're testing. Like, they might have you follow their finger with your eyes without moving your head or ask you to identify different smells. They might test your hearing, have you clutch your jaw, puff out your cheeks.
So they're making sure all the signals are getting through.
Exactly. It's like running diagnostics on a complex electrical system, only this system is the amazing human body.
Wow. We really have journeyed through the entire body with this deep dive into head-to-toe assessments. It's amazing how much information nurses can gather just from observing, listening, you know, even feeling for clues. But what happens to all that information, it's not like they just keep it all in their heads, right?
Right. The last step, and it's a big one, is documentation.
Okay, right. Got to write it all down. Otherwise, what was the point of all that careful observation? So what does that look like, this documentation?
It's not just a quick note on a scrap of paper. Everything, and I mean everything, the nurses observed from the moment they met the patient, their appearance, the findings from all the tests, everything goes into the patient's medical chart.
So it's all carefully recorded and becomes part of their permanent medical record. Why is this documentation so important?
It's important for a few reasons.
Yeah.
First, it creates that baseline we talked about. So future healthcare providers, they can see how the patient's doing over time, if anything has changed.
So like if a patient sees a different doctor or nurse down the line, they'll have access to all the details from previous assessments.
Exactly. Everyone's on the same page.
Yeah.
And that's crucial for making good decisions about their treatment, right? And of course, it's also really important for legal reasons, making sure there's an accurate record of the patient's condition and the care they've received.
It really makes you appreciate how much goes into something as routine as a head-to-toe assessment. We think of healthcare and it's all high-tech machines and complicated procedures, but sometimes the most powerful tools are a trained eye, a good set of ears, and a deep understanding of how the human body works.
Couldn't agree more. And you know, this knowledge is not just for nurses and doctors.
Mm-hmm.
The more you understand about what's being looked for during these assessments, the more empowered you are as a patient.
It's about being an active participant in your own healthcare, right?
Absolutely. Knowing what's normal for your own body and recognizing when something's a little bit off, that can make a huge difference.
This has been such an incredible deep dive. I feel like we've uncovered a world of information that's hidden in plain sight or hidden beneath the surface of something as simple as a head-to-toe assessment.
It really shows you how amazing our bodies are and how much we can learn just by paying attention.
It really does. And speaking of paying attention, I think this is the perfect place to leave our listeners with a final thought. Now that you've been on this journey with us, how might you use this knowledge, this new understanding, to be more aware of your own body's signals? What subtle changes might you notice now that you might have missed before? Food for thought as we wrap up this deep dive into head-to-toe assessments. Until next time, everyone, keep those brains engaged and those bodies healthy.